Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is All Things Considered on 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. John Silber, who for decades was synonymous with Boston University, died today at age 86. He had been undergoing treatment for kidney failure and in recent days had invited many of his friends to his bedside to say goodbye. One of them was Joe Mercurio, a longtime BU administrator who had worked with Silber since shortly after Silber became president of the school in 1971. Silber was a fiery, controversial man, but when we spoke with Mercurio today, he talked of a John Silber the public didn't see, someone who gave his staff room to grow, who believed in second chances, and who reached into his pocket to help people who were struggling financially. But Mercurio says Silber's ultimate legacy was how he transformed BU physically and reputationally.
Two-thirds of what we now know as the Boston University campus was acquired and developed under John Silber's administration. Most of the faculty members who are there today were recruited during his tenure as university president. He insisted on balanced budgets.
What do you think he turned BU into?
Well, he turned Boston University into a nationally and internationally ranked research institution that has a residential, is primarily a residential school, from a commuter school that had very little research, very small endowment, and not nationally ranked.
And in a city with a lot of academic competition.
With a lot of competition.
It's hard to talk about Silber without talking about his personality.
I
mean, he was outspoken, he was feisty, some people would say ill-tempered, even tyrannical. How would you describe his personality?
Well, that's the dichotomy. That's the difference between his public image and his private, personal interaction with his immediate staff. I got to know John when I was a relatively young man, starting early in my career, and I learned that he loved to debate. He appreciated it when one would talk back, when one would debate the merits of the argument. But I also learned very quickly that if I didn't know the answer, I should say, I don't know the answer.
Rather than fake it.
Yeah. Not faking it was clearly not the right thing to do because that was something he didn't respect. And the relationship had to be based on respect. He was that type of individual. He was very passionate.
Joe, you obviously think highly of him, it seems. Did you ever spar with him, though?
I always sparred with him. We sparred many, many times. I probably quit my job after arguing with John more times than anyone in the annals of Boston University history. And then we would, you know, essentially kiss and make up after it was over.
So as you've said, in your view, people behind the scenes got to see the kinder side of John Silber. But really, mostly what the public saw was the bristly side of John Silber. And that hurt him often over the years.
Yes, it did. And, you know, I would say to John so often, John, it's not what you're saying. What you're saying makes sense. It's how you're saying it. And he would laugh. He would laugh about that, and he would say, "Yeah, I know. I have to be better at that." But at the end of the day, he was the personality that he was.
And ultimately, do you think that was a failing of his personality?
No, I don't think it was a failing. I think it was his honest personality, and he really treasured the truth. He sought the truth. As a philosopher, that was something that was paramount in the way he thought.
Although maybe being too truthful, or his version of what he thought truthful was, probably lost him the governor's race in 1990. He made a remark that many people considered intemperate to Natalie Jacobson, the CBB newscaster. He made other comments about public policy, his famous "when you're ripe, it's time to go" comment about people who are elderly and sick. So what does that say about him and his leadership?
With regard to the comment that "when you're ripe, it's time to go," 2 days ago when I was sitting with him, and he was laying in his bed in considerable pain, but still witty, he turned to one of the people who was in the room with me and said, "You know, when you're ripe, it's time to go." He was saying his goodbyes. So he didn't say it as a slogan. He said it as a truthful statement that extraordinary means of keeping someone alive at the end of their life is probably something that society should reconsider.
So he stuck by that belief till the end?
He did stick by that.
When Silber lost the governor's race to Bill Weld in 1990, were you able to see how he handled that behind the scenes?
Well, he was sad, and he was analytical. He tried to analyze why he lost. I wasn't part of the campaign, but he reengaged pretty quickly back into his position at the university, worked very hard on educational programs, particularly primary and secondary education. Governor Weld, as you know, appointed him Commissioner of Education. I think that spoke about the respect that Governor Weld had for John Silber's interest in education. And his interest in education was really his guiding principle. He always said he had a North Star. He would say that at staff meetings. His North Star was what's in the best interest of the children.
Even from John Silber's earliest days at BU, he landed in the headlines. In the 1970s, there was a faculty vote for his ouster. There was this huge investment in this biotech company called Sarogen by BU that ended up tanking, essentially. There was his ban on overnight guests of the opposite sex at BU, which got national attention. Why was this a guy that was so often in the headlines?
He was a person who took risks to try to advance the institution. And the media loved to quote him because they knew that if they wanted an interesting quote, that it was a lot quicker to go to John Silber than to a college president down the street. John was who he was. He did not have a split personality. He did not talk one way in public and another way in private about an issue. He would give you his view of whatever the issue happened to be.
After John Wessling, who was Silber's successor, was resigning, there was a new BU president hired, Dan Golden. He had been a former NASA administrator. And that all fell apart at the last minute. BU had to pay him $1.8 million to fulfill a contract that had already been signed. Do you think, as John Silber looked back on his career at BU, there was any point or points that he would identify as failings or places where he made a mistake?
Sure. Lots of them. Over a course of a 30-year administration of a university, you're going to have failures, you're going to have successes, and the real test is where do you end up? Do you end up with a better institution overall, taking into account the fact that there were missteps along the way?
What do you think BU lost when he left?
Well, John loved BU. He dedicated his life to BU. So what BU lost was a person who had worked tirelessly to help transform the institution and tried to give back and provided the platform that the university sits on today to take it to the next level.
Joe, thanks very much for coming into the studio.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Joe Mercurio is a former executive vice president of Boston University and worked for decades with John Silber, who died today. Silber served as BU's president from 1971 to 1996 and was then chancellor of the university until 2003.